Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Hi, Wiggy may be wearing matching PJs for Christmas, but Greg was wearing matching panties.
That's a cool one.
That was pretty good.
Don't hate.
No.
Don't. Greg, make this bread and put my undies on.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Probably all started when we all got the
cell phones?
No, I'm not cell phones. Why am I drawing a blank?
I don't know. Telegraph.
No, when we played our messages. No, when we played our messages at home, we
voicemail.
Had to go back.
Oh,
we had to go back in the little red machine.
Yeah, the answer machine. Yes.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Started it last night, fell asleep.
Is that the one with
really?
But I want to give it another go.
Maybe it's too deep for you.
No.
When it comes to intelligence.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Where did me sign up for me migrant so I can get me free housing with a $5,000 a month stipend? I don't want to stay at the Quality Inn, though. I need to stay at the Ritz-Carlton.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory. And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken a bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Happy Wednesday. Buenos Aires.
What up?
It's freaking freezing.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And we start right off with a complaint. Do we have a complaint department here at WEEI?
Yep.
We do?
Ken's direct them office. All to Jackson.
Somebody's sick and tired of the intro. How long have we been running with this intro?
People get sick and tired of every intro. Like, shut up.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's the way we greet our customers.
Tick, 6 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, customers are hard to come by. I don't think we greet them with a shut up in the morning.
Maybe
stifle or something like that. I don't. Yeah.
Nobody was sick of tick, tick, boom.
Yeah, but it could be time for a new intro. I don't know.
People like change.
You want to workshop one, me and you?
Sure. Yeah,
maybe.
I'd be happy to, Greg.
Are you okay today? I feel like you're in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood per se. Just, you know, a lot of things going on. Just handle it, you know, just, you know, get a little, what is it?
Ornery man.
Yeah, ornery. That's ornery, right. Yeah, there you go.
What are you ornery about? Is it about the Bruins?
That's a start. I mean, this team gets shut out by the freaking Oilers.
Well,
what are we doing?
I just, like, it's the same thing with this hockey team over and over and over again.
Pucks on net.
It is guys that are camped out in front of their own net and are unable to make contact with an opposing player who has a puck. And it happened last night, but almost back to back when it came to goals. And I agree with you, Chime. It's extraordinarily frustrating. It literally happened on both of the Henrik goals last night.
Just defensemen just kind of staring at it. Right. When we played volleyball, we would call it the bonfire, Greg, because everybody would just be standing around watching. Like, that's what it feels like. They're just watching a bonfire, just hanging out, making some s'mores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you get Connor McDavid is... Wiggy and I were texting about this during the game last night. He is... everything and a Sunday from Van Leeuwen.
Yeah.
But you got that breakaway. Zacha gets the breakaway, doesn't score on it. Okay, fine. And then I think it was Charlie McAvoy can't clear the puck.
Nope.
And then boom, you got McDavid going the whole way, and you're down 2-0, and like it's over. So yeah. I have zero faith in this team when it comes to getting through a round of the playoffs.
Nope.
And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, we've talked about this all year long, and it's just their defense. Like, and you think they invested like, you know, some good money in their defense, and I know, you know, you look at some of, you know, Swayman did a decent job, and Skinner played really well, even though he didn't get many shots on him, but. It's like their defense, and Greg, you're spot on. How many times, and on the broadcast there, I think it was Brick was talking about, that first goal, there were four Bruins literally within 5 feet of the goalie and the guy.
Standing there.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is put a body on him.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No.
And he's unabated at going to the goal and scoring. Seems basic. It seems like basic hockey. So
I thought the coaching change was supposed to help this.
Yeah, you would have thought. So it hasn't. That's five in a row, if you're counting in the wrong direction for the Boston Bruins. So
at least the Celtics won.
I understand Shime's orneriness.
Yes, there you go.
You're about to be married, so you're going to have the horniness at some point, but we won't torture you over that. I'm sure a texter is suggesting you're also upset because Mike Vrabel is the clear favorite to be the head coach of the New England Patriots.
What a sham this
sham
is.
Sham wow. Yeah. Where's the sham wow when you need it? You remember that thing? Clean this mess up.
It's in the tank. This one.
Why is it bad?
Byron Leftwich. I don't even think he was
Pep
coaching.
Hamilton.
Much.
Yeah, neither of them are coaching.
Well, I guess you could. So you think it's a sham?
Of course,
when you say sham, that you're interviewing a couple guys who you have no designs whatsoever on being your head coach.
Both of those names were wild to come out yesterday.
Wiggy was right yet again. They're going to have a coaching decision by Thursday.
I just got a text message. I got an interview with the Pats on Friday.
No, they're not going to go that far.
I mean, when I saw Byron Leftwich, I was like, What?
He hasn't been in football for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a sec. The last time I felt like I seen him, he was the offense coordinator for the Bucks when Brady was playing.
Last time we saw him, Tom Brady was sneaking into his home during COVID so that he could work on the playbook.
Oh, man.
I mean, we should have Charlie Weiss. I mean, maybe he's getting an interview.
What about Marv Levy?
It's just like, I mean, you know, and I got no issues with it. I think that if there's a guy that you want, then go with that guy. And whether... You know, I don't know why you have to do this whole dog and pony show of interviewing other people. And, you know, I hate the stupid Rooney Rule in the NFL. Anyways, I think that it should
You do?
Yeah, I think that.
So, for those who might not know, the Patriots, they have now covered their obligations under the Rooney Rule, which is that they have to interview at least two minority candidates for an open position.
Yeah.
And they did that yesterday with Pep Hamilton.
Yep.
And with Byron Leftwich. Yeah. So that covers them off. They are now free to go and sign Mike Vrabel and get that deal done before the aforementioned Tom Brady does with the Raiders.
Like, if they interview Brian Flores, don't we go, okay, there's a chance they might hire him.
Yeah.
If there's no, when you see Pep and you see Byron getting an interview, like, there's no way that these two guys are even, you know, there's a chance they're even going to get this job. So I'm with just, if you're an owner and you feel like Vrabel's the best guy, and then go for it.
But that's the rules of the league right now.
Yeah, and I think it's stupid.
I would say Patriots fans would be far more outraged if Mike Vrabel was interviewing today again with the Jets, tomorrow with the Vegas Raiders, and they're waiting on a talk with Brian Flores, and then let's say Vrabel agrees to be the coach somewhere else. The yelling and screaming would be, what the hell are you doing, Robert? Why are you not prioritizing your number one choice?
I am surprised that they didn't have an interview with him yesterday, though, because he's supposed to interview with the Bears today. So to get in before he's going off to yet another team, I would want Robert to do. Like, to not make him your first interview priority. I understand with the Rooney Rule, you have to interview these other people, but at least get in the door so that you guys are on the same page.
Well, he is, I guess, scheduled to be here on Thursday, so be here tomorrow. And so maybe it's a done deal, and he gets here, and they're able to announce tomorrow that Mike Vrabel is the next coach, head coach.
But there's a bigger issue here. Like, it's like, if you like Vrabel, great, but this is now, what, the second time in a row you're doing a quote-unquote coach hiring that you're not even, like, actually interviewing candidates for. No wonder the building is so empty and devoid of actual football people, because they're not talking to anybody. They refuse to talk to anybody outside their little circle of Patriots history and learn anything about anybody else across the NFL. It's just closed-minded and stupid.
Well, that's why I asked the question yesterday, right? Are you... excuse me, going to go down the avenue where you're really going to look into other coaches and see what other coaches' philosophies, thought process that are completely different than the Patriots way. And even though Vrabel is not part of Bill Belichick's coaching tree,
he's still a quote-unquote Patriots way guy. But
yes.
I don't know why that's a bad thing. Like, why is that a bad thing in your mind?
I just think this organization doesn't... I don't think the Crafts have really much of an idea of what they're doing at this moment, because Belichick did everything for so long.
Correct.
That they
did up until 4 years ago.
Exactly. Yes. And they just, they don't have the Rolodex that he had. They don't have people that they can just call and, like, bring into their building and actually get new innovative NFL ideas going and flowing through that building. And so once again, it's just going to be a closed-minded process. We picked our guy before, as soon as they fired Gerard Mayo, clearly they knew who they wanted to hire. They knew exactly what they wanted to do, how they wanted to go about it, and instead of actually interviewing candidates and learning about the rest of the league, they're doing the same thing over again, and they're just bound to repeat more mistakes.
And I know it's an easy time, and it's an accurate time to rip the Crafts. They've done a million things wrong. However, they have hired three head coaches as owners of the New England Patriots. Two are going to be in the Hall of Fame. So they hired Pete Carroll before he was Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired him before he was Pete Carroll. And they hired Bill Belichick and traded for Bill Belichick in one of the great moves in the history of the NFL. So I know that we want them to learn things. I know that Mike Vrabel comes to the table with a long list of different NFL and college coaches that he has worked with, along with his career playing for Bill and others. So it's not as though he's just Josh McDaniels on the defense. He is a guy that has his own points of view.
Agree, Curtis. And he hits the ground running. Like, he's not somebody who is going to be overwhelmed by all of the other stuff. And when I say other stuff, the stuff that isn't in game that goes into being a head coach in the NFL. And he's not going to be bogged down by trying to figure out the, you know, deal with Robin Glazer or whoever it is on the travel and the contracts, like the dotting the I's and the T's in the contracts and the, you know, the nonsense that it takes that takes up your time when you want to be coaching football.
But couldn't you say the same thing about Brian Flores, who currently is coaching arguably the best defense in football?
Yes, you could, but I think there are a lot of questions about how well that went for him in Miami.
I mean, he was a great
Miami. I mean, he
succeeded with very little.
Did you see Fitzmagic yesterday going off on him about how arrogant he became and about how none of the coaches liked him and about how
it's because the owner was offering him money to lose games?
Well, that might be what it was. I wasn't there, neither were you, so it also might be. But there's not a lot of that is floating around about Mike Vrabel. Like, in general, most people suggest that Mike Vrabel is the number one candidate that is available right now when it comes to other than Ben Johnson, who doesn't have the experience. So,
He has experience. He doesn't have head coaching experience.
He does not.
The guy's been a coach in football for over a decade, Greg.
Wow. Yes. Wiggy was a coach for a year in Brockton.
True, and I didn't get these. I got the same opportunity in Mayo Clan. But when you look at Vrabel, if you're Vrabel, would you rather coach New England or Vegas?
That's a great question. Is there a danger that Mike Vrabel finds the opportunity to be reunited with Tom Brady and to work for that organization a little more attractive than here? The only thing that makes a difference is Drake May, I think.
I think the Drake May element, but I also think just the...
No income tax.
The relationship with Vrabel and Brady versus Vrabel and the Crafts is way greater with Brady and Vrabel. So you have to take that into consideration. If you're a coach and you're like, you know, and you're Vrabel and you start to, you didn't leave New England as a player on good terms. You took shots at the Crafts. So there's already a little bit of a kind of sour taste in your mouth. Everybody says, well, yeah, they had the induction. So what? That doesn't mean anything. There's still that sour taste. And then when you see what the Crafts did to kind of Brady, Belichick, now Mayo, if you're Vrabel, you're going, do I really want to go there and work, knowing that maybe I might not be getting 100% transparency?
You keep saying this, but it seems like he does because he is flying here for an interview tomorrow.
Well, he wants to coach, though.
It seems like he wants to coach here. I mean, he can.
Isn't he going to Chicago?
I mean, I would say Gerard Mayo has as many options as any potential coach in the NFL. And
Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel. Mike Vrabel has the number one list of potential suitors, and according to everybody, this is where he wants to coach. According to every report, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, locally, nationally, they think it's over.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. That Bruins game was so bad last night that I believe both Wiggy and I, and maybe even Shime, flipped over to the inaugural match of the TGL, the Tiger Woods Rory McIlroy Indoor Golf League.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Very interesting. If you're a golf fan.
I enjoyed it. Did you watch any Shime last night?
I didn't. I fell asleep.
Oh, you did. Oh.
I did see the highlight, though, of Tiger Woods being asked to hit the camera and him hitting the camera on demand.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
But if you're a golf fan, I would ask people, like, I'm not a huge golf fan, so I would ask people that are golf fans, how do they like that element? It was cool. I think golf fans would love to play at something like that.
Well, you can. I mean, there's Top Golf, and there's all get
there. Right, but this is like this is Top Golf on steroids.
Well, you're not going to have they have a 5-story screen that you're playing into. You're not going to have that at Top Golf. But I don't know. When you look at sports and the potential for combining the the virtual reality element of it with the actual physical competition.
Is it sustainable, though, for people to go watch? Like, I don't necessarily know.
I mean, there were 1,500 people there. Right. They were enjoying. They were not participating in Dry January, clearly.
No.
They were making noise.
It's a cool atmosphere. There was music. It sounded like there was a DJ there.
Yeah, there was a DJ there.
I just don't know if over and over again fans are going to show out for something like that.
See, I think fans will because the golfers, it seemed like the guys that they had last night, they had six of them, and they all seemed like they're like some of the top golfers in the world. But they were real like loose, and it was a cool competitive thing, and if you're a fan there, maybe you know it's kind of what's that thing that you guys, the one golf saying, the waste management, where they're a little bit different.
Yeah, it's kind of like the waste management.
Yeah, they're talking and you're interviewing them. So
no, they're all mic'd up the whole entire time. Yeah. It's good for January when there's nothing else going on that you want to pay attention to.
I also think it's overall a good thing for the PGA to see it. Just because then they can be like, oh, we should mic players up more on the course.
Yeah.
And they can just kind of cherry pick the good ideas and the good things that come out of this and use them in the actual golf product.
Kind of like XFL. Mm. They had a lot of things that they did with that league that was adopted by the NFL and improved the broadcast.
Yeah.
And it proves that golfers can play with noise in the background. So there should be some cheering and you booing going on.
It was interesting.
Greg, did you have a He Hate Me jersey?
No, I did not.
I play with him, Rod Smart.
You've played with everybody.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You're like the Forrest Gump of football.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was like, and I'm not a golf fan, but I thought it was like a cool little atmosphere. It was unique. Like they had that little, where they did
that's
all like
the green.
The green part of it was like, you know, you can rotate.
You can adjust the green when it comes to making putts more difficult. I don't know.
And the different courses look pretty cool on the screen.
Yeah. All right. It's a Celtics Wednesday. Mego will be in here at 9. We'll talk Celtics with Mego. Before that, though, we will get to our leads in about 10 minutes. And then they said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. We will discuss what Bruins coach Joe Sacco said after stringing 5 losses together, among other things, coming up at 7 on this morning's show. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning. Science has determined how American men measure up against the world when it comes to length, and the news is not so good. We need to make the American penis great again. I don't know how.
We'll find it.
Ladies all over the U.S. are laughing out loud.
Seem to enjoy this story more than many others.
I just think that there are some men out there who think that they are God's gifts when it comes to what they're packing.
I guess that's why so many people are now heading to Africa for vacation.
You're not wrong there. So we will get to that and the rest of the news a little bit later on this morning's show. Are we continuing with Hill Notes?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
We are. By the way, a quick fun fact, all true. Back in the day on EEI, Glenn Ordway famously said that the XFL would take over the NFL as the most popular football league.
No.
Really?
Yep.
When is that happening?
Don't quit now. But our first of its kind, revolutionary idea to conclude the show, Hill Notes, you use the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
You go to the WEEI page. Right next to the listen button is a button where you can record a voice memo that can be heard at the 9 o'clock hour of this very program.
Your voice deserves to be heard.
Amen.
And we give you that opportunity. So leave a voice memo, a voice note, a Hill Note on any topic, anything that we are talking about or any other topic, and we will play the best ones back at around 9:30 on this morning's show.
And if I'm 80 years old bitching on social media about a radio station I worked at before, shoot me.
God.
Some who have met you feel like you're already 80 years old. I don't know if that's,
they ain't over.
If that's an appearance thing or just attitude. All right, we're going to get to Courtney right now and to what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins get shut out on home ice as the Oilers get the win 4-0. Jeremy Swayman had 32 saves in the loss. The Celtics, however, get a win in Denver, beating the Nuggets 118-106 thanks to a 15-0 run after the teams were tied at 93 with 8:30 to play. Jason Tatum led the way with 29 points, while Kristaps Porzingis had a great game, double-double with 25 points and 11 rebounds. The Joker and Gordon did not play in this one. The Seas end the road trip 3-1, good road trip.
Yeah, it was a good road trip. Kristaps looked good, too.
Yes, very good. That's going to be my lead. Firing in Las Vegas, the Raiders have fired Antonio Pierce after just one full season as the head coach. Pierce took over as the interim head coach in 2023. And yesterday, the Patriots announced they had completed head coaching interviews with both Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. Sources are saying they plan to interview Mike Vrabel tomorrow. We're one day closer to the NFL playoffs starting on Saturday at 4:30. We have Chargers at Texans. Then at 8, we have Steelers at Ravens. On Sunday at 1, the Broncos are in Buffalo at 4:30. The Packers at Eagles. And at 8, Commanders at Bucks. On Monday night, it's Vikings at Rams. WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, Courtney, it's freezing up, but it's a good day. James Mann, 2.5 today. Big day in the Curtis house. He is killing it, just dominating Montessori. There he is with his weird uncle Ken on Sunday.
Did you get a bouncy house to celebrate, or are you waiting for the actual birthday?
No, he got an Acura.
Okay. Ken, you wrong.
Sure are, Ken. Feels like two. It'll be 18.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Black. Chime, I like it.
802 text request there. Oh. I think in honor of me being ornery this morning.
Oh, interesting.
Probably 602.
You got the request, and you didn't tell him to shut up like you were telling the rest of the listeners at the start of the show this morning?
Nope, just certain people agitate me, that's all.
Okay.
Off air, he was saying you guys need to know your place.
I think you confused me for the Jelani Tavai drop. That wasn't me.
I thought it was interesting in the Mike Giardi piece, which dropped yesterday, that a member of the New England Patriots coaching staff, who will remain anonymous, went so far as to say that Jelani Tavai's comments on this radio show last Friday were quote-unquote crazy.
Sometimes they just gotta know their place.
That they all felt like they were crazy.
You know what that story showed me, Greg, and it was a great find by you, thank you for sending it yesterday, was that it really crystallizes what we've been thinking, which is if Gerard Mayo is like this with all of us, the Gerard Mayo we get to see, which is on Mondays, on Wednesdays, post-game, whatever, that was constantly saying one thing, doing another, cleaning it up, it would stand to reason that that was what he was like in some way with his players.
Yeah.
And so that would create the mixed messaging that the Giardi story got to as well, that players didn't really know what direction they were heading because he was so often clarifying or changing.
Well, Courtney, they're not qualified to do what Mayo is doing.
Courtney had said it from Jump Street. When did you talk about the Ramondre and Gibson thing? Or was the Ramondre? No, but even at the beginning of the season, remember when he had the fumbling issues and then he played?
Yeah, that was like 3 weeks in.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, where he was like, well, you know, we're going to hold Ramondre accountable. And two snaps later, he was in the game. And you're like, what kind of accountability is that? And so if guys...
It's the friendship thing, and you've been saying that from the beginning, and I thought that the way in which all the players, most of the players responded to the way in which he was fired, and they all mention friend.
Right.
That's not somebody that you are putting all of the respect in, and you should be a little bit scared of your boss. Like, there should be a little bit of it.
I don't know. Wait till we get to my lead. I don't know if you can be a scary boss in the NFL anymore, but I do believe that the most damning part of that were the veteran players who were saying, you know, they lost faith in him when it came to his football knowledge and his coaching ability, essentially, you know. And when they were asked about when, they said in the spring before the season even started.
Wow.
Felt like, this is a quote, felt like they were making it up as they went along. It was amazing how one day it would be this and then the next, something completely different. And then another veteran player said, it became more about looking myself in the mirror and the guys in my room and huddle and saying, I'm leaving it out here for you, because I never believed we had an edge in coaching.
Wow. So they had no real plan, no real direction. It was unorganized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could surmise that when the interview process is going on for coordinators and those who interview are suggesting that the discussions are light on football.
But do you really think Gerard Mayo was the one that was light on football? I feel like that was not a shot at Mayo. I think that was a shot at Robin Glazer or whoever else was a part of it.
No, I think...
And I noticed Bill has delighted lately in taking shots at Robin Glazer. Mm. I don't know what the situation there is, but I feel like her power within the organization began to grow at some point, and I don't think Bill was happy about that.
Let me just say this. I heard a story that I've been told I can't share about Robin Glazer and the sensitivity about what's said on local airwaves. And so...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, they
need
to...
should say more then.
Yeah. I want Patriots Monday with Vrabel next year, so I will not say anything else.
Yeah.
But I would just say they need... The Red Sox and Patriots are oddly becoming each other. And it's not good.
And see what happens when you... And Bill talked about it with Bill Cowher, when you're not on the same page. Because I think a lot of times when it comes to not really having a plan or a direction is because those coaches are all not on the same page. And if you don't have the ability to hire your own guys, you see things differently, right? Mm-hmm. You might be like Gerard, who goes, oh, I'm ready for Drake May to play. I see him playing. And then there's another coach who goes, well, we don't see it that way. And that's why I think it's super important that even if you hire Vrabel, everybody is buying into... I was going to do this as a lead, another lead.
Okay. All right.
So I just kind of like... The reason why I think great organizations or good organizations work is because the GM and the head coach are on the same page when it comes to philosophy about the offense and the defense.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about X's and O's and what type of players we're looking
for. Yes, one of them has to be the boss. Like, you can't have the equal power thing. It never works. Mm-hmm. And so one of them has to be the boss. And so I think that Mike Vrabel coming in here has his own people that he trusts. He's going to bring them in. Elliot Wolf is going to move back to a role where he's grabbing the coffee or the donuts or whatever, running and getting things off of the fax machine, whatever is required. And that's the way it will work best, is one guy who is in charge of all of the football operations. But that is just me. All right. We got a lot to get to today, including this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Sean, I like your lead choice this morning. The Rolling Stones and Satisfaction. Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. One of the reasons I was so ornery this morning was, in fact, because the Bruins got shut out yet again. And as our guy Scott McLaughlin of WEEI tweeted out last night, you may have been able to hear it. There were fire Don Sweeney chants at the TD Garden last night. And so
fans need to know their place.
Apparently. But I'm curious, though, if this will finally get Sweeney canned. Because earlier in the year, he already scapegoated the coach, fired Jim Montgomery, who was hired, by the way, 5 days later. 5 days later, in the middle of the season, was hired by the St. Louis Blues. And then you promoted Joe Sacco to interim head coach, and he's done pretty good. But overall, this team still stinks. The same mistakes happen game after game, time after time. They've yet to win a game in the new year. We're now a full week into the new year, still no wins. And so I look at this, and even if they sneak into the playoffs, but they get bounced in the first round, is this finally going to be the opportunity that the Bruins take, Cam Neely takes and looks at it and goes, sorry, Don, we got to move in a different direction?
I mean, this team, the way they are composed and the way they are playing right now, can you actually see them advancing past the first round of the playoffs?
No. I cannot. You can barely see them getting into the playoffs.
I cannot. So it's either a lack of effort thing or a lack of talent thing. And you've tried shuffling the coaches up, and that hasn't worked. And so I think they lack the talent. And they have guys, you know, no disrespect to Brad Marchand, and maybe I'll throw David Pastrnak in there. They have guys who have been here for Charlie McAvoy for a considerable amount of time, and maybe they need a change of scenery thing or whatever. But, you know, Brad Marchand is getting up there. Right. Like, I it's just, you might be right. It might be time to look at Don Sweeney and say, we got to make a change here.
Yeah, because he's the one who is the clear, he's the person when it comes to the talent, right? He's the one who brings the guys in. And,
correct.
You know, so that's, if you feel like, you know, maybe he's going after the wrong guys, like it, whether it was Zadorov or whether it was Elias Lindholm, maybe those weren't the right guys. He's not doing the right job when he's evaluating the talent. We used to criticize Bill about that at times. So, yeah,
I mean, Zadorov did a great job running into the goaltender last night. I mean, that was
loves the penalty box.
That was perfectly executed last night.
God, I hate this team.
All right, Scheim, thank you.
You're
Curtis,
welcome.
Curtis, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. And I'm feeling very charitable this morning, and I will be honest and say great column in the Boston Globe by Christopher Gasper, who does an excellent job. And he gave me pause about my celebration of Mike Vrabel. And in part, he wrote in the Globe, Canning Mayo, who showed his Fenway Park-esque greenness with gaffes on and off the field, in a shambolic season, 1 year into a multi-year rebuild, was the ultimate flip-flop. It should give Patriots observers serious pause about the judgment to get the next coaching hire right and turn this Titanic of a team around. Crowdsourcing decisions isn't usually a tenet of successful franchises, and too much of the infrastructure that contributed to Mayo's firing curiously remains in place in crumbling Fort Foxborough. Excellent paragraph there in that story. And I would just ask Patriots fans and the audience this. What do you need to see to reinvest both financially and emotionally in this team? Because we've seen Bill Belichick go 4-13. We've seen Gerard Mayo go 4-13. We've seen Cam Newton not make the playoffs. We've seen Bailey Zappe not make the playoffs. We've seen many different people come and go. Almost the entire organization has been purged. However, the crafts remain. That is the consistent. And whatever Greg and I or whoever else can yell about Bill and Tom, I feel like that does a disservice to the actual current state of the team, because neither are going to help it. And I find what the crafts are doing with Elliott Wolf still in his stead, with the organization going forward, with just changing, quote, the draft grading scale to be an insult. So I don't know. To me, if they bring in Vrabel and they give him the keys and he spends, I'm back.
Yeah.
But I wonder where Patriots fans are today after the last 5 years, because we famously heard the old coach talk about the Bucks and the Rams going all in. Well, they're back in the playoffs for consecutive years. Like, everything that Patriots told you about how to run a business has proven either to be wrong or partially accurate.
It's all about spending. That's it. Yep. It's about spending and being aggressive.
You got to get the right coach. I mean, you have the right quarterback. I think you got to get the right coach. But
even look at Nick Sirianni, right? People didn't think he was the right coach. But you know what you did in the offseason? You said, we're willing to spend money and get a guy like Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley was available for everybody. There are going to be guys that are available, whether it's through a trade or whether it's free agents that you got to spend for. So you just got to be willing to do that. And once you start bringing in those established guys that we know can play, then you give your team a better chance.
All right. Great lead, Curtis. And we will find out, I'm sure, this morning how you feel about Curtis's question. What does it take for you to reinvest in your New England Patriots? You could leave a Hill note on that if you want.
Odyssey app. It's brand new, so just
and we will play those back at 9:30 or so this morning, and we'll get to the rest of today's leads next. Tomorrow on this show, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, at around 6:45, and Mike Milbury on the Bruins on a Bruins Thursday at 9. And then Friday, fingers crossed, I believe I will be able to announce not one, but two snow shows.
Happy Friday
for this program this winter. So
Good locations, too.
Yeah. Really good. So I think we're very close on both of them, one of which will be this month. Is January the longest, I don't mean longest days-wise, longest month of the year when it comes to how, like, it's only January 8th. It feels like it should be January 15th already. Is it the longest?
Yeah.
It is?
It's because it's so cold. The holidays just ended, so you're tired from the holidays, but you also had a great break, but now you're looking for your next break.
Yeah. It's just miserable. Good it's point. A miserable month. It's maybe February is worse. I don't know, but it's a shorter month. I feel like January takes forever to get through. It's the worst month of the year.
February is great. You got Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I mean,
but February, you're probably right. It's because you're coming off all of these, like, vacations, yes. And now it's like, all right, it's like summertime and going back to school.
Right, mm-hmm. You have to be mindful. You can't eat anything that you want to eat.
You have to go to the gym.
Right, you got to do all that crap that you just said you were going to do, and you got to try to pay it tight.
I have an idea to make us all feel better, Greg.
Yes.
What if I book my rental car for our family in Florida? What do we want to do this year?
Oh,
we want to do the Escalade again?
I feel like we should do a big SUV.
Okay, Wiggy's very scared of my driving.
Yeah, the Escalade was nice, though.
Okay.
Normally, it's Courtney and Wiggy in the back. Although, Wiggy, you could have the front if you want.
Plenty of room in an Escalade.
I don't have to ride shotgun. Yeah.
It's okay. You like having the control of the radio.
All right. We have leads to get to, and then we're going to get to They Said It. They Said It, depending on how long the leads. I'm thinking They Said It is going to have to be at 7:20, Shime. All right? So just.
That's cool.
We'll make an executive decision on that. And during They Said It, in 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we will discuss what Joe Sacco said after stringing 5 losses together, or after his hockey team strung 5 losses together with another loss last night, among other things. But we have leads. Courtney, hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Yesterday, we kicked off the show kind of hot when we talked about Drake May, and some were upset that he did not stay for media availability and to talk about Jerod Mayo and the firing. And the person that was brought up by Curtis was Christian Gonzalez, and that he stayed and he spoke to media, and, you know, that's what Drake should have done. I think Drake made the correct decision when you look at how media and social media in particular has responded to Christian Gonzalez and the way he looked while speaking about Jerod Mayo. Mitch has the video, and let me tell you, everybody's upset that this guy was, God forbid, smiling while speaking.
Give me a break. Right. Why do people care about this?
But what does everybody mean?
People are trying to tweak everything these guys are doing to put them in the bad light. And if I'm Christian Gonzalez, I'm looking at Drake May like, why the F did I stay around? Why didn't I leave when you left?
That's my point.
What?
That's my point. He's mad that he had to do that and Drake May didn't.
No, he didn't have to do it. He could have left, like Drake May left. He chose to stay. I'm sure he's looking at it, regretting that he stayed. This is a guy who's always smiling. There is no way that he was smiling because he wanted Jerod Mayo to be fired. People just take things, spin it, and then spew it out to the masses. It's terrible that this tweet now has over 200 responses. People are saying he hated Jerod Mayo. Oh, he can't even hide that he wanted to see him go. Not the case. Absolutely ridiculous.
But see, that's the thing that we were talking about. The fans are always going to go down the direction of how he looks. And then the fans went down the direction of, by Drake May not showing up, it was a bad look.
I mean, isn't it possible that Drake May was unhappy with Jerod Mayo and the direction of the football team?
Like, yeah, it's possible.
And isn't it a classier thing to do to not comment on that than to stay there and lie about it?
No, not when you're the face of the franchise.
I have a question, Greg. Do you think, if that's the case, that he was unhappy throughout the season?
I feel like he may be one of these guys that is anonymously telling Mike Giardi that he didn't know, they knew in spring that they were lacking in direction and they didn't know day to day what was going to be going on.
And how many times did Drake May meet the media and do a hit on this radio station?
Oh, every week when he was starting.
So probably like 20, 30 times?
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe
so 10. 20 to 30 times he was able to do something and then just carry on with his day.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it that day?
Well, and I think he was one of the guys. I think
he wasn't
rookie,
obligated to.
The season's over.
No, I don't think he was one of the guys who was complaining about Jerod Mayo and the way things were being done. I think as a rookie, he comes in.
You don't think that somebody like that, who knows he has a huge football ahead, football career ahead, is concerned about the coaching staff that is around him and how that affects his performance his first season in the NFL?
You said that. Is he one of the guys saying that there was no organization? No, I think Drake May is coming in as a rookie, his head spinning. He's wondering, you know, whether or not he's going to get an opportunity to play. He's not thinking about when those reports were reported about people saying they knew in the spring. I think it's more veteran guys who saw how Bill did things and goes, wait a second, this coaching staff doesn't look like they have a clue. So those are the guys.
You don't think Drake May was pissed off from jump, as you would say, that he outperformed Jacoby Brissett in training camp and that he wasn't the starter?
He was pissed about that.
But I don't think he wanted Gerard Mayo gone.
Yeah. Do we all think that Mayo was the reason why he wasn't starting week one?
I have no idea. I know Gerard Mayo was the head coach of the football organization, and if he wanted to start Drake May, he should have started Drake May. Maybe he'd still have a job.
So now all of a sudden
it's not all of a sudden. I said this all along.
I think you were on board with of us that said if Gerard had the power.
Who do you believe was telling Gerard Mayo that he could not start Drake May?
Elliot Wolf.
You think that Elliot Wolf was telling Gerard Mayo what to do? Well, then Gerard Mayo is an idiot for listening to Elliot Wolf.
Well, who's still here?
Right.
Yeah.
Elliot Wolf.
Well, Elliot Wolf is here until somebody else doesn't come here. So
right, but he's here at least longer than Gerard Mayo.
And we know who, and I think it was Jones and Keith that were talking about this, and this is spot on. Every owner or GM, like Bill has his guys. Mm-hmm. He has Matt Patricia. He had Bears, right?
Yes, Greg Hill.
Everybody has their little guy that they know, okay, this is my rider guy. This is the guy that I know I can confide in. It looks like that guy for the Crafts was Elliot Wolf. Because guess what? No matter how much you thought that Young Thunder or Thunder Young Buddy, whatever it was, were loving friends, one guy is still here and the other guy is out of a job. So it looks like Elliot Wolf has the air of Robert Kraft more than Gerard Mayo.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm sure he does. I mean, I think you could argue, we had this argument the other day and I was probably wrong. I think when Bill said that things started to go awry 4 years ago, it's when Elliot Wolf got here.
If Elliot goes to Robert,
but
hey,
that doesn't mean that Gerard Mayo, I'm going to argue this till I'm blue in the face. I'm already red in the face or whatever the expression is. Gerard Mayo could have done what he wanted to do.
Stop it. Hey, you don't think Elliot Wolf said, hey, Robert,
I've told you this a billion times. You're much better off being fired for doing what you want to do as opposed to being fired from what somebody else tells you.
I know Greg and everybody have talked about Matthew Judon. We talked about it yesterday and how he was berated on the field in training camp. He had no power. He didn't have the ability to stand up for himself because the organization allowed him to be dressed down for something he had nothing to do with.
We got to take a break. Oh. I hate this.
All right.
We're right in the smack dab in the middle of a great argument, and we got to take a break.
All right, I got to write down.
Do you have things to write down?
Well, no, it's a good point because I think Elliot Wolf says to Kraft, hey, we don't want to get Drake May hurt. Let's not start him, especially at the beginning of the season.
All right, well, then Robert Kraft should say, I'm relying on the head coach that I identified as the guy to run the franchise 5 years ago.
All right, well, one's here and the other one isn't.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.